welcome everyone. Today is June 26th, and this is the OOR content workshop number three, third in our series. We've had two other meetings earlier, one kind of focusing on the financial ontologies, kind of leading the charge there would be Mike Bennett. And also the second one was on more of the SOCOP, the geoscience and spatial ontologies. So today we don't really have any fixed presentations. I think maybe what we want to do again is just to see where we are right now, if there's content that we're missing, and among the participants within OOR, the OOR umbrella, if you will, but also to identify other groups and particularly people who can assist us in populating the instances of OOR that we are currently maintaining. So if we go to, I guess that's sort of the second bullet, purple number 3C9C. And there are some sub-bullets under there, so 3C9D. Mike Bennett, I can't remember where we are standing right now with the FIBO ontologies in the OR. I think last time we spoke, there was an upcoming deadline where you needed to have them ready for some internal milestones. Where are they right now?
Right, yes, that was internal to the object management group. We were planning to put them forward to a vote and so on at this meeting last week. We've decided not to put forward to a vote, but the good news is we do have OWL, so that's why we thought we'd wait another 3 months to give people a chance to look at it who are more familiar with the OWL environment than our existing business presentation environment. So we have two sets of OWL files. One is the foundational terms, and this is where we want to integrate with other industry standard terms as much as possible, but we've had to create foundational terms as a kind of holding point for our terms, and the other is the FIBO for business entities. So so that's out there. The OWL exists. I can send that along. We can work out what to do to put it in the repository. I love your comments on it and so on. That does import a lot of our kind of foundational terms that are sort of looking for a home or looking for terms from industry standards as those are out there. And I still owe people a kind of vision statement as to what's a good way of taking that kind of foundational set of abstract terms forward as a collaborative effort, so that we're all referring to common terms across different things like date, time, and countries, and so on. But yes, that's the story. We've got OWL.
Okay, great. So let's see. So if they are, I guess, mature enough, if you feel they're mature enough that we can put them into one of the instances, I guess the question would be, which is the right instance to populate with that?
Right. Yes, I mean the official sign-off of the standard will be in September, and we will certainly do some rework between now and then. But it'd be nice to, as long as that's clear, it'd be nice to see this stuff actually up there. So.
Right.
So the question: does that mean you can do it now to just to kick things around, or you have to wait till it's signed off?
We can do it now to kick things around. I'd like to do that so people can see it. There will be a signed-off version of it, which will be somewhat different in September.
In which case, I think the sandbox would be the ideal place.
Okay.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. The sandbox is non-committal, and people can kick things around, and we can use your content to test out other things.
Fantastic.
Would be perfect. So you probably have not had a chance to do any upload before to the OOR. So maybe either Mike Dean or Ken McCloskey could volunteer to help in that respect. To work with you on it?
Yeah, I'd be glad to help, although actually getting my feedback on the submission process and so forth would be helpful as well. So,
great.
I don't know if quite how we we want to chat. If Mike wants to try it, and I or Ken can follow up if there's any issues, or I can certainly do it.
Yeah, we definitely want Mike to do it himself, but with someone sort of a buddy that he knows he can count on when he runs into problems.
Yeah, that I'd be glad to do that.
Is that okay, Mike?
That certainly is, yes. And are all the links I need easy to find? Or do I need to be sent something or anything?
So, Mike, what you'll want to do is to register an account first on the Sandbox instance.
Right now, OOR.net seems to not be responding.
Yes. I mean, there were the issues with the server. We sort of bypassed that, but you can get to the instance. So sandbox.or.net, actually it works. The only thing that doesn't work properly is the OOR.net index page.
I see.
I've actually linked the OOR homepage on the wiki so that it doesn't rely on the index page to get anywhere.
Okay.
Just like, in particular, calore.or.net doesn't redirect now, but but I have placed the code.google, Google repository canonical link back in there.
Like, so I can send you some pointers offline, or you can kind of walk through the process now if you'd like.
Whatever's easiest. I'm just setting up an account now. So should I have a go at it offline and then come back to you if I get stuck, or?
I think that would be good. So like I say, register for the account, and then when you go to the browse menu, there should be a submit an ontology button there. And that's what you'll want to use to actually submit. And you'll be prompted for some metadata.
I actually have a question. What did you create the OWL on? I know they used to have some problems with OWL2 constants. I don't know if that OWL instance is past that point. If your OWL ontology loads perfectly on Protege 3.x, then it would be perfectly okay. If it's created on 4.x, then there might be some issues.
Right. This could be very interesting because I haven't even looked at it on Protege. It's been generated by the adaptive metadata repository, and they've made a number of iterations before they were happy with it. I believe Lisa Kendall at Thematics has been looking at it in Protege, but I've also had a few comments from one of our users looking at it in Protege and finding things that didn't sit quite right. So I should be very interested in what we see.
Yeah, Gary, who is online now, probably has a lot of experience in that. And since he did run into similar problems before, Gary. Oh, you're on mute.
Yeah,
Gary.
So I'm on mute most of the time. Yeah, so I've had a little bit of experience with this, depending on the version of Protege I'm using and things of that nature. We know that sort of the slash mark at the end of some of these files produces the results that are less than optimum for seeing what's in the OWL ontologies.
That was one of the issues that one of our users at UBS was finding. So, in a way, the more issues, the better, because these are the things I want to get a handle on. At the moment, things disappear into a big black box, and I don't get to see what's coming out. But that's partly because I haven't been running it up in Protege myself yet. I've been working on getting it out of my existing tool, getting it to the adaptive guy, and then getting it uploaded to the OMG servers. So I still need to look at what it looks like in Protege and Top Raid and so on, which I haven't had a chance to install yet and play about with. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of issues the OOR sandbox picks up and feed those back to the adaptive guys as well.
Yeah, only one way to find out is to do it.
Yeah, That's a fantastic. I think the parser has actually evolved in the recent BioPort releases, so it may be less dependent on some of the Protégé 3 dependencies than has been in the past.
But we are not running the latest version either.
Right. This hasn't touched Protégé, so...
So it's not about Protégé as much as I think the back end of the BioPortal, which was originally just sort of brought over from Protégé.
Right, I think it was using the Protégé parser. Something led me to think that it actually may be using the Protégé 4 parser at this point.
Yeah.
So, Mike, I assume it is an RDF. You do have an RDFXML, right?
That's correct. Yes. And I should warn that it's because it's been developed entirely in our business conceptual modeling framework within one of the UML tools using the ontology definition meta model. It means that we've basically used all the expressive power without any real consideration for what dialect of OWL it fits into or anything like that. So I'm sure that will throw out some interesting effects. It's very different from an ontology that you would use in a single ontology application, because we're using OWL to simply capture business domain knowledge. We would expect people that want to use it in applications to use one or other of a subset of it, and we're starting to look at what the rules would be for that. So it'll be interesting to know whether the Protégé back-end stuff there kicks up any interesting issues as a result of that.
Right. It'd probably be also interesting to check, you know, consistency using pellets or something like that as well.
Yes, excellent. And I know that we've had to make some changes, or the adaptive folks have made some changes in, for example, the way we did unions was more business-facing and actually disallowed in OWL, and they've had to do some transformation to do the appropriate OWL pattern for that, which is unusable for business presentation. So there's little interesting issues like that going on.
Okay. This will be fun. Good. So are these true of both of the OWL ontologies you have in terms of how they've been developed and tool chain?
Sorry, say again?
Oh, I was just asking if both of the ontologies that you had, you mentioned there were two, I thought, and I was wondering if they were both developed using the same process and tool chain.
Yes, they are. And when I say two, there's two standard proposals, each of which has about between 10 and 20 individual OWL ontologies within it, so it's highly modularized.
Ah, okay.
I guess that's another question that we'll kind of see as well after adding it in is to what extent can the current OOR kind of architecture handle modularity in a nice intuitive way? Kind of talked about this in an earlier meeting, but as soon as you introduce the notion of modularity, then you have the relationship between ontologies, the relationship between ontology and its modules, et cetera. I think that's kind of one of the things that's a bit of a weakness of some of the current OR architecture.
Right. So one approach that I've thought about, I haven't written the code yet to do, is to load it as one ontology, basically probably doing some offline tools to basically do the transitive closure of imports, then use the view mechanism within OOR to separate out the modules. And then the other approach is to basically just load them independently and with each module as its own ontology.
Mm-hmm. Is there, Dean, you might know this like a little bit better. So there's a lot of work that's being done in modularity, which is, you know, a lot of algorithms to, you know, do the modularization. You know, so there's the work that's, you know, being done at Manchester. There's the workshop in modular ontologies, which contains a lot of these kinds of ideas. But is there, what would you think would be a nice set of papers for people to read on the kind of interaction between these notions of modularity that are arising, you know, from the algorithmic decomposition people, and the idea of repositories.
I can't really think of a good reference up front. I mean, most of those are kind of seeking to take a larger ontology and put it into pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than the cases where, like this one, where I assume that basically it was essentially built as modules from the ground up.
So is this a paper we should be writing?
I was just thinking that. It would certainly be quite relevant, I think, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm, okay.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, document this on the chat first, and then maybe we can pursue it more later.
Yeah, no, I definitely would be interested in collaborating on a paper like that. That again, the interaction between modularity of an ontology and the architecture of an ontology repository. Because to me, it just seemed that it had been something that had been neglected, for lack of a better word, by a lot of the existing research, like I say, which is focusing on algorithms. Okay.
But while we have Gary and Mike Bennett online at the same time, I mean, we've been looking for this opportunity since the Ontology Summit, there were some sort of coordination that needs to be made, I mean, between the instance. So, and there were maybe some confusion. So since Gary is here now, maybe we could all talk about it here.
Yeah.
Exchange on the email a bit, and I know Gary is in a hurry getting into his next meeting. So Gary, remember to unmute.
Right, so now what?
I'm in a kind of noisy spot here, but you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you.
So, the idea was that after my presentation on the OOR, Mike volunteered that I think I have some interesting things on location and place within my own work, and we should continue to discuss that. Had a little difficulty sort of starting the conversation, but the idea would be that if ED does have some interesting floor, we want to, in SOCA, to participate in that, and we are looking to that would be an interesting to do that. So he was talking before about working on the sandbox. I think once we start doing that, starting on the sandbox, we collaborate on that activity. How does that go to the start?
That's right, and I think I still need, we talked about, you know, the sort of business level coordination of semantics, you know, terms that we need in different ontologies, like for real estate and so on, and it's very much a business facing exercise, and you quite rightly said that the next thing you need from me would be a vision statement. This was quite some time ago, and I've been up to my eyeballs in deadlines until the middle of last week, and I've been working on the vision statement in spare moments and haven't got it to you, but that's very much the top of my list of things to do now. And I've been reaching out to other people. There's some folks in the legal community and so on. So where there are people looking for, you know, how do we get this alignment at the semantic level, and we've been doing some interesting stuff around transactions to show how it can be done. I see a kind of a loose affiliation of industry experts, industry-led semantics in different industries, getting them out of the silos and integrated, pretty much following the principles John Sower set out in the ISS presentations, for example. And I'm very keen to take that forward. It's just I've been literally working night and day on the object management group submission process until last week. So that's very much on my desk now.
So is the issue here, how do we manage overlapping ontologies between, say, FIBO and SOCOP, and, you know, coordinating the uploading of these ontologies, or what exactly is the kind of the issue here that
it's not so much an issue, more of an opportunity.
Okay.
In order to make our ontologies meaningful, we've taken each concept and abstracted it through the layers to what is the most abstract or archetypal thing that it is. And inevitably, those are things outside of our industry, like geographical concepts, like real estate concepts, and so on. And there's no point in us reinventing our own silo for real estate and our own silo for construction projects and so on, just to support construction loans, for example, when those terms already exist in other ontologies. And with a bit of clever footwork in the upper ontology lattice and in the definitions of these abstract archetypes, it's possible to reconcile these ontologies to each other and create a common platform of high-level abstract ontologies that everybody can specialize or have as ranges of object properties in more industry-specific ontologies. So that's very much the vision. It's more of a vision than an issue, and it's really got nothing to do with uploading or hosting or anything like that.
Yeah, but we did. I mean, we did talk about sort of possibly using that as an excuse to speed up the work on federation.
Precisely. So there's a nice connection between the two. Absolutely.
Right.
I'm going to have to go in a minute here, but I didn't want to make a connection between the earlier conversation on modularization and this, because I think looking within Mike's work, one might sort of try to pick out some place, space, location, module from it, and try to cooperate with the SOCOP and other artists on that module so that it's well-founded and placed back in there. So that would be another idea of what we're trying to do. And I just would interject one little thing from the module discussion earlier on. The thing I think of in terms of modular ontology is food ontology for NASA. And there's a challenge currently for the repositories in handling a modular ontology like that, which has hundreds of over 200 modules in it. And you get lost looking for things within that. So I think some functionality in the repository to help with that type of thing would help us down the road.
It would, indeed.
Okay, so Mike Bennett, then you said you were going to just write something up, like a vision statement, or you could actually type into the chat we just said. I was trying to jot it down, but I was still too slow.
Sure, yeah, that is almost the vision statement. So yes, I'll type something in. I've done the long document. The short vision always takes longer to do.
Yeah,
I think two notions of being addressed here. One obviously is the modularity. The other is something at least MITRE calls the super domain ontology. It's not quite an upper ontology, but at least it's some fairly basic notions concepts that could be used across multiple domains. And I guess that's what Mike Bennett was trying to get at.
That's very much the thing. And the view we've taken, you'll see this in our foundational ontology concepts, the view we've taken is that although we've had to provide sort of temporary foundational terms that don't yet have ontologies that we found, you know, there are some like UNFAO that we have used, for example. The idea is that the best authority for the meanings of terms are the industry bodies who work with those terms rather than, you know, some ontology exercise like psych or something. So that's really where I'm coming from with that.
Yeah, I guess that's there's in a lot of ways this is close to the issue of how is a repository different from just a registry, if you will. And if you know, registry meaning everyone just uploads things separately and there are no, you know, real relationships between the things that people upload. It's just that's there and people can browse and upload and download. But when we start getting into these issues of trying to find common modules between ontologies or designing maybe a new ontology that is a generalization of others and incorporating that into the repository and capturing that relationship between the new one and the old ones, that gets more into these, you know, what really is the value added of a repository and all these other relationships. So I think this is a very necessary next step.
So Mike, Dean, you want to say something about the Federation before we move on to the next subject, possibly?
Well,
addressing, let's say, a use case that Mike Bennett and maybe Gary is referring to.
Right, right. And I could certainly imagine essentially having repositories for financial ontologies and your spatial, and then another federate that basically implements both of those to this collaborative work. I think right now, for the moment, I'm thinking more about the modularity aspects than the federation aspects. It certainly could be a nice use case, essentially, for the federation examples as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because federation actually has another thing that I wanted to bring up. I didn't get a chance to put it onto the agenda. But, and I can't remember if we mentioned this in an earlier meeting or not, but at Manchester, there's something called the Tones Ontology Repository.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we talked about this.
We have had people present that, I mean, years ago now. I mean, in the earlier days of OOR, what was it, Matthew DeKine?
He
with Tones?
Maybe Matthew Horridge.
Matthew Horridge. Yeah, Matthew Horridge's name is on the current page. But you know, the reason I just raised that is, you know, what kind of stance should we take to? I guess a two part question. One is the stance towards other ontology efforts in general, but the other one would be this one in particular. So, do we want to reach out to somebody, I guess Matthew Horridge, or do we want, you know, how do we want to interact with, say, the Tones Ontology Repository?
So I've kind of thought of federation in two senses. One is what I call heterogeneous federation, which is basically federation between two OR instances.
Mm-hmm.
You have the same software on both sides. And then also heterogeneous federation where you have, you know, a different representation that
right.
you're interacting with. And, you know, that may be ontology specific for someone like Tones. And as I recall, Tones is actually mostly just a web page of links.
Yes.
Which, you know, a number of the repositories are. And then others might be more specific tools like collaborative ontology development environment and things like that. And those, unfortunately, probably generally need to be custom, although you may be able to generalize some of them by having, you know, accessing them through a Sparkle endpoint or viewing them essentially as a list of URIs that you can scrape, for example.
Yeah. I mean, all of the Tones ontologies, I mean, they're links, but they're all local links. I mean, they're all, Manchester/repository. They're not, like, distributed.
Right.
In that sense. But you're right. I mean, it is just a listing of links.
So which means they are hosting at least some instances, one instance of those ontologies.
Right.
I probably did mention, Matthew Horridge is no longer in Manchester, he's at Stanford now.
Right, that's right. That's right, he recently moved, yeah.
Huh?
But like, just for example, I mean, some of these are ones that probably are already in BioPort, well, many of them are, I think. So I don't know. We'd have to have somebody to do a kind of a systematic overview of what's happening in something like Tones. But do we want to spend some resources on this, or do we want to more focus on say, the other bullets under our agenda 3C 3C9Y? Any thoughts?
While you're thinking, I mean, we have Tim Tinsley, who's here for the first time, I was hoping when we get a chance, maybe he can introduce himself and tell us more about himself and why he's here, and see what his expectations are in this participation.
Yeah, Peter?
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't sure if I was on or not. I've been an enterprise architect for a number of years, so my whole focus on ontology has been from the standpoint of enterprise architecture, and actually looking at enterprise architecture potentially as being an upper ontology to help pull business ontologies together. I gave a presentation on this just almost a year ago at a conference in Paris, and I got a lot of feedback and interest on it, but the key factor behind it all is that there must be some solid ontologies in the business environment, but they must all be tied to something so that they can work together, technically work, run, and work together. So my focus in this arena has been service component architecture as the basis for it, for tying it together.
Interesting. And you see that architecture be hosted somewhere, maybe within the enterprise, so that in some sort of repository, I suppose.
Well, it takes the ontology from being just a definition under which we attach code to it to go and process against it, which is what I see in most of the implementations. Instead, the ontology becomes the execution. That's probably the biggest difference, because it includes the definition of the components that operate the process side, not just the definition of the information. So, I have to say a whole lot more about that, because it's a little more intense than that. But if you're not familiar with systems component service component architecture, that is the basis of the development of all major applications today by Oracle, IBM, all of the big guys. So it's not a small item. It is the method being used. It has been a solution that's been very effective across the industry and has been for years.
Sounds great.
So anyhow, I'm working on pulling some more information together and hoping to do some more publication on it as well, and actually working on a project called Otter, which shows how the execution works. It's only for demonstration purposes, but it actually shows how you can run a business, essentially using ontologies as your primary base.
Sounds exciting. We should find an opportunity where you can give us a talk about it. I mean, you're on to lock, and you probably realize there have been a bunch of people who used to start with like model-driven architecture and that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, and I've been through those things.
Are you working with them or in parallel with them? In competition with these groups?
Not really. I'm following them because I think there's so many intelligent people out there. I enjoy just the participation to know what the thoughts are, because this is I believe it's going to have a major change on the information technology business, so significantly bigger than probably anything that we've ever seen, because it will take what most of the professionals think is something that they uniquely have as their skill set. It's going to move it into ontology so that it's not going to be the same as what we've done in the past. It will be pretty significant.
Yeah, it's really heartwarming to hear you say this. I remember earlier days, I mean, with Corey Kasanave and let's say the U.S. federal government architecture people and then the UML people, I mean, most of whom Mike Bennett is working with now. And I think over the years they have moved much closer to ontology. And I guess the general feeling, as you just said it exactly right, is that they are agreeing that ontology will form that basis.
Yeah, I that's what I see and what's being published and the projects that are going on. As an enterprise architect, what I'm not seeing is that focus on the full enterprise side, except the government is starting to do that, but they're not publishing some of their information, in particular when it comes to the security of our nation. They're doing some things that we are not aware of, but I think they're on this kind of a path. I'd like it to find its way into business, though, just as well. It's, as everyone knows, information technology has just always had trouble getting projects done and taking way too long. And things are getting so big now that no one can even understand how the systems work. Not, you know, not any single individual. It takes committees to address any kind of changes. So we need some ways to start capturing knowledge that we can understand, that everyone can understand. College is a perfect fit.
We need you to tell this to more people. Sorry, Michael. I noticed this another person, Shannon Copeland, on the call.
Yes, I'd like to introduce Shannon. Hi, Shannon. This is Shannon is a chat worker in the legal side of things who I met at the Atlantic Technology Conference, very interested in finding legal ontologies. So, Shannon, welcome aboard.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. I too am very interested in the comments that Tom, it's Tom or Tim? Forgive me.
It's Tom.
Okay. Yeah, I heard it wrong, but read it correctly. But yeah, I'm very interested in your comments. And we are, just to give you a really quick, overview of why I have, why I'm interested in being on this kind of a call. We are in the midst of creating a company, a true commercial organization. It could all fall apart tomorrow, but we've already formed a company to essentially build software that helps our clients detect risk and just to use Tom's rubric, by building ontologies that lawyers can build themselves, and of course we will pre-build some, and then use those ontologies to detect risk in the corporate environment. So I met Mike and David Newman in San Francisco a few weeks ago, and we hit it off in terms of, you know, recognizing that we were playing in the same sandbox. I don't know which corner I'm in at the moment. And I'm not a lawyer, by the way. I'm a consultant by training, an IT consultant. So this is an exciting opportunity for us.
Fantastic. Welcome, Shannon.
Is there any particular area of risk in the finance area that attracts your attention?
Well, as you would hope or guess, we have filed a patent that talks about detecting risk in what we call requirements documents, and the word we should use is contracts. And we were broad in filing the patent. And so we basically have said that we're attempting to get a patent that can calculate risk in any kind of contract, right? So we're interested, to answer your question, we're interested in all types of contracts. We're focusing first on some niche contract types in niche industries like the construction industry, right? But again, we're very interested in all types of contracts.
Have you heard of the Ryan Calker's Seafire group in the construction industry trying to identify major types of risks and mitigation in construction?
I have not. I would certainly be interested to learn more about that.
So
would
I. Is your email available?
Can you type that onto the chat? Then we can all learn from you, Bob. That's Bob Smith.
I'm Bob Smith.
Yeah.
Pleasure to meet you, Bob.
This is Terry Longstreth. I'm sorry to go back a bit, but you mentioned a project you were working on that you had a demo of. I put a thing on the chat. Can you give us a URL so we can check it out?
Was that for me, Tom Tinsley?
Yeah, Tom, that was for you.
It's not available yet. It will be. There was one last year that was done for the conference, but it's being renovated right now, and it'll probably be a couple of months before there's actually the demo available, but there will be one.
Okay. Have I got the name right? Is it called Otter?
Yes, it is. Had to give it some kind of name. You know, it's fun naming projects. So that's the ontology technology that executes real time.
You came up with a label and then tried to figure out what the words were.
Yeah, Tom.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You should at least type that out, the acronym and the extended name, so that we will address it with the correct labels.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll do that.
Well, it's funny you say that, Tom, and Mike hopefully will not mention the name that we used in our presentation.
Oh, nobody's mentioned anything.
Good. That's good. That's good because it'll change. But I like otter.
Well, I live in Florida, and we have otters that play in the lake behind us. So. And right now, I live in Newport Richey, and we have a lot more water right now than we really want. So,
yeah.
So back to Michael.
Okay. Let's see. So, I think just coming back to our specific content contribution cases. Where are we here? We covered FIBO, we've discussed SOCOP, I've mentioned this other one, Tones. I guess we're just kind of going to leave that for now.
Oh, I can mention one other thing?
Yeah.
While Gary is not here, a whole bunch of people who are involved with OOR and Ontolog are actually involved in the NSF EarthCube project, which is like a geoscience the information conglomerate type project. And people like Gary, of course, Nancy Wiegand, Mike Dean, Leo Oberst, and other names like Pascal Hitzler, Christoph Janowicz, and so on, a whole bunch of people. They have a semantics and ontology group which focuses in that specific area. And quite recently, I mean, just last Thursday, Leo Oberst, who sort of represents our broader community around like Ontolog OOR, and Krishna Sinha, who's sort of a convener of the EarthCube ontology, semantics and ontology group. A bunch of us, about like 12 or 15 of us, had a meeting discussing the possibility of doing a joint mini-series. And among other things is, of course, both Gary and Leo promoting the use of OR for the geoscientists and geospatial work. So that is up and coming. I just wanted to mention that. And so at least people around here knows about it. We will take the next month or so to plan things out, and there's a first session dates already picked and their first session for this joint mini-series will be in August 9th. And the first one, I think, is a session on value proposition of ontology and semantics for the geoscientists or something like that.
Oh, great.
So it's back to sort of making the case for ontologies, I mean, in this specific scientific domain.
Peter, that's great. I'm sorry I missed that meeting due to a conflict, but I'm glad that's moving forward.
Right. I still owe people the writing up because there's quite a few things to do. I need to start a wiki homepage for that mini-series. I need to create some sort of a organizing committee mailing list so that people could start exchanging ideas on that and of course to recap that meeting as well. So I still owe you that.
Thank you.
Peter, is that going to be... This is Grant Olson.
You're coming in and out. Could you repeat that again?
Peter, this is Frank Olson.
Hi, Frank.
Is that series going to be part of the Ontolog?
Yeah, it will be on Ontolog. It will be sort of like the Ontolog webinars.
Yeah, it'll be a Thursday meeting.
It will be a Thursday meeting if date is what you're asking.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, that's great, Peter. I think that'll be something very interesting to kind of follow and like you said, to kind of inject the repository work at an early stage of that project would be very interesting.
Yes, I guess Gary would be instrumental, Gary and Mike, who's mm-hmm. working on the SOCOP, or I will be instrumental in getting that into that community.
Okay. Okay. Are there any other comments related to SOCOP or FIBO at this point? Okay. So there's just two other little bullets there. I guess 3CA1, 3CFQ purple numbers. Ontologies for open government data sets and ontologies for big data data sets. Do we have anyone who is actively pursuing development of such ontologies that we need to get involved with or?
If you ask me, I think that's probably something I really hope we can pursue. And if we, I don't know, were you there? We had a couple of sessions with government
right.
not too long ago, late last month, with the big data, with the data.gov people. And where we left off is, I mean, there's definite interest in continuing the collaboration. Of course, we OOR made a presentation. There was a presentation, Leo and Mike and Ken and I made, and our proposition was that since they are letting out hundreds of thousands, 450,000 when we were talking, data sets, some of them are just data, some of them already have some sort of linked data vocabulary. We were making the proposition that those vocabulary should somehow find its way into an ontology, and then super domain ontologies on top of those, upper ontologies on top of those again, that would really make the data much more usable and reusable, much more useful. That's our proposition, and I do hope we can follow through with that. And that's probably, if you ask me what would be the next big thing for all our content, if we can make headways in that, I think we'll keep a lot of people very busy for a long time.
You should post a name paper about that.
I beg your pardon?
You should talk to the NEEM people. Do you know the NEEM? The I think it's like
the
national government thing in there.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of work in the OMG on that. I know Corey Casanave and others are involved. It's not at our ontology level. It's really, I don't know, a logical model or a vocabulary, but talking to people last week, that seems to be the direction they would want to take it in at some point.
But just to clarify, Peter, I mean, you're talking about an ontology development project rather than, say, acquiring existing ontologies, correct?
I would say that an ontology development project that would make heavy use of existing superdomain, existing ontologies, particularly superdomain ontologies and upper ontologies.
Regardless, though, I mean, there are currently no ontologies for open government data sets or ontologies for other big data sets. We would need to have a project where someone was developing, a group was developing those ontologies.
Often data models, and one of the questions is how can you link those existing data models
mm-hmm.
to map those existing data models to ontologies?
Right. So I mean, database schema are definitely already available data models in so on. So how could we, of course, those are independent projects, but in parallel, if there is this OOR where people would know, I mean, that's exactly the place to upload, the place to find the ontologies, then that would make the case, I mean, that would make OOR totally meaningful.
Well, I guess this is nice segue, I guess, into the other thing we wanted to talk about today, under number action plan number 4, I guess that's 3CA9, the possibility of making a response to the NSF big data solicitation. Do you want to talk about that now? Do you see
Ken,
that as being related?
Yeah, I want Ken to talk about it now.
Okay.
Were you able to give that some thought? I know you have been... You haven't been feeling well.
Yeah, I was pretty sick for a week, it's been a while before I've been able to, get caught up again. But, you know, the difficulty is that actually if we wanted to make the submission, pretty much we'd have to make it today.
Oh.
So I don't think we really have an opportunity to do that. It's unfortunate that I got sick just at that moment.
Was this something that was in the direction of what we were just talking about, like the development of ontologies for big data sets, or was this something more OOR focused? I'm just curious, what were people talking about?
No, this is independent of OOR.
It's independent. It's the there's this big data initiative, and the NIH and the NSF are participating in this, and they have a solicitation for, I guess, just a small grant, the idea would be to put together some individuals that are actively engaged in work on very large data sets for which, ontologies could make a real difference. But the key thing is we would have to have some specific domain. My experience with the NSF and the NIH is that general infrastructure is not something that's easy to get funded. They want, it has to have some focus on a domain. Under the best of circumstances, it would have been difficult to put together a team in the short period of time that we had. On the other hand, no doubt there will be other opportunities that will be coming up. We might want to, just look ahead at and, have such a team ready when an opportunity arises. So if there are ideas about a particular domain that we could focus on, individuals that are working in such a domain, that would be the place to start.
But just to clarify, though, I mean, what was the content of the proposal you guys were thinking of? Was it addressing this idea of ontologies for big data sets, or was it going to focus on something else? I was just curious. Like, I mean, you're not going to get it done, but I'm just curious. What was your vision for what this was going to be?
Yeah, the original vision was to, of course, the driver was, I mean, to get funded for some work.
Right, but what was the work you were proposing?
But then, I mean, we would do work even if we're not funded anyway. I mean, we've been doing it for so long. The original possibility was, I mean, to pursue what we described during the data.gov, joint data.gov session, was to pursue this development of ontologies given the data sets, given the hundreds of thousands sets of data that are out there, and how to make better use of them through the use of ontologies.
Okay, so in other words, the vision you guys had was the first steps towards addressing, again, these ontologies for open government data sets, et cetera.
We didn't quite have a joint vision yet. We spent like 3 minutes talking about it at one meeting. And we said, I mean, let's see if we could, we knew it was, the time was tight. Let's see if we can put together a quick proposal to get some funding. That was
okay.
But I think that pursuing the idea is much more important than pursuing the funding at this point. And personally, I think big data is a big thing. Ontology, maybe ontology in combination with statistical things, because I mean that's where big data is going in a big way. I mean, I know Ken, you wrote a book on R, right?
Yeah.
Did you? Yeah. And R is coming in a fairly big way. I mean, in like parallel programming. I mean, on dealing with big data in some of those areas, I think, could be extremely interesting. I mean, combining that with ontology, of course,
right,
given our context in big data.
Yeah, well, I think the more specific focus was on interoperability and sharing. Certainly, that's one of the key aspects of the big data initiative.
So then, I guess another segue onto the next item of the agenda then was fixing a date for the OOR for big data session. Do we have, besides the date issue question, would these things that we're just discussing now form the content of that session?
I think this would be, certainly could be a topic.
Yeah, 3CHC. I had suggested 2 dates to consider. July 31st is a possibility, and then August 14th. July 31st comes awfully close to FOICE, and I know Mike is the general chair for FOICE, and Michael Grinnick.
Yeah, I'll be returning that date.
Oh, you're returning, so... So that rules out that date, because we definitely want you around, Michael. And we have the 7th as a first Tuesday of the month as our regular monthly OR team meeting. So August 14th would be the next logical date. But since Mike Dean, you are running that session, right?
Right.
Got to pick.
I think the 14th works for me.
Any other people?
Yeah, that works. That looks good.
Objections. All right, then. OR for big data slated for Tuesday, August 14th.
And my current thought is that would be more a discussion like this.
Okay.
Yes.
Good presentations.
Right. Yeah, and it would be good to have, as we get closer to that, to have some objectives like, Ken was saying, identifying some specific domain, identifying data sets related to that specific domain, start identifying ontologies for that.
Right,
it might be a good outcome.
EarthCube could be a good example for that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think between EarthCube and data government data.
Right.
Then we'll have plenty of use cases and plenty of sort of concrete use case scenarios to go with.
What do you mean by government data, Peter?
Government data? I mean, look up data.gov.
No, it's not. That doesn't really work as a domain. I mean, we have to be more specific than just government data. It could be, geographic. It could be, I don't know, just pick some domain that government is involved in. Some domain within medicine.
Pick one domain within that. Then.
It has to be a domain within that. You can't just say government data.
Yeah, we can pick one domain within that.
Yeah.
Right, and the idea would be to pick a domain that's specific enough that you can, kind of make progress on actually identifying ontologies. If it's too general, too vague, then we won't make any progress. But if it's too specific, we won't be able to really demonstrate a lot of the other, issues that we've been discussing, integration, interoperability, reuse, and things like that. So,
but since we are not sort of talking about this for a specific grant proposal, but we are more talking about generically the value we can bring in terms of having ontologies and having ontology repositories, we may or may not need to be that specific. I personally would love to see how we can progress from simply, database schema all the way to a fully extended and connected ontologies, all the way to upper ontologies.
Right. There's a fair amount of work in data.gov.uk in exposing the data as RDF. So that may some of that may be a little bit easier to work with initially as well. So Dave Reynolds actually gave a nice presentation at Syntec on the work that they're supporting at Epimorphic.
That sounds like an interesting direction. There's a lot of data that's in relational databases.
Right.
Yeah, but our connections are with the U.S. side of data.gov, not data.gov.uk. So, and we can get a lot of cool operation and collaboration opportunities with them if we think through this.
Right. Although I think we've got some slightly more distant connections with the data.gov.uk folks as well, and I'm sure they'd be glad to have us. Use their data.
Sure.
So the one of the big characterizations is that the UK folks are directly publishing as RDF. In the US, it's more third parties like RPI that are converting data to RDF.
I think these initiatives can be international. We don't have to limit it just one country.
Right. Right, and if we really have a good plan there, things like there's the W3C government data working group or interest group that might be a way of trying to push some of these things forward.
Oh, sorry. My connection went funny off for a second. Let's see. What did I miss?
so we'll leave it to Mike Dean to think through this. Feel free to discuss it over the OR forum list, if you want, or back channels as you feel like. And I think it would be a very interesting and well attended session. if we put forth the right things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely want, we probably want this to be a joint Ontolock OOR, shall we?
Okay. Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Okay, are there any other points people want to raise?
This is Terry again. You know, you might even want to dovetail this into next year's Ontology Summit.
Possible, but we don't. We generally won't be talking about Ontology Summit themes until closer to the time, like October, November.
I know, but this is big enough that I don't think we'll be done by October or November.
True. Yeah.
Okay. Are there any other points? So I think it's just to kind of sum up. I think the work with Mike Bennett is going to be uploading with FIBO. I think that's going to be good, identifying a lot of issues that we need to raise. And I like this idea of modularity. I think that's another important issue that we need to kind of focus on. So we may have an upcoming session at some point when we have enough material to actually talk about modularity. I think the idea of having a paper is a great idea.
Yeah, I'd like to follow up on that, Michael. That, I'm intrigued as well.
Yeah.
Did that got captured in the paper?
Yeah. Okay. And if we do have an upcoming content session as well, I really would like to get Pat Caspi online and who else was that? Peter.
Denise.
Yes. To kind of get some of their input and engage them and their sub-communities. So that'll be something. What we'll do is I'll try to get both of them and find out whatever time works for them and use that as a way of determining the next content session.
Sure, sounds good.
Okay. Well, if there are no more points, I think that was productive today. And talk to everyone next week. Next week we have a regular OR team meeting. I guess it would be more just other issues and planning. So I'll talk to you next week.
Yep.
Bye bye.
Okay, then.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye everyone. Thank you.